What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome, Aang, welcome to Movie Crush. Aang Lee is here in the hall. Did you know that?
What did you think of that Incredible Hulk, Aang Lee? I'm going to Aang Lee Incredible Hulk.
Chuck. It was all right.
It felt very odd to me.
Yeah. That last one he did was supposed to be a real stinker.
It doesn't feel like it's part of like the Marvel universe, even. Like, it's sort of like got like the boot. Like, it's not canon.
Yeah, I don't know how real fans consider it, but it was sort of before they started building that world out, so it was okay, you know.
His latest was the one with Will Smith,
yes.
Like playing old Will Smith and young Will Smith fighting each other on motorcycles.
Yeah, you know what I just watched, Noel?
Tell me.
I'm so fucking fired up. You know, Peter Jackson has been making this Beatles documentary.
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about that.
It was supposed to be finished. And for those of you listening that don't know, Peter Jackson has dug up all this archival footage from the from these final sessions the Beatles did, where for years the narrative was that these sessions were just fighting and sniping because that's the only footage that was ever played. And he dug up all this other stuff and was just like, it wasn't like that, you guys. The Beatles didn't hate each other. There was so much joy, and he released a little sneak peek. It was supposed to be out by now, but COVID put it off. So he released a sneak peek today, and it shows these four old friends as, you know, dudes at the end of their career as a band, having so much fun in the studio recording these songs, and it just like makes my heart swell.
What record is this? Like Let It Be, or?
Yeah, I guess it was the Let It Be sessions, right?
I mean, that's the one that I know there's a lot of footage of.
Yeah.
When they played on the roof and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just can't wait for this. And it's in beautiful color, and they're at that age that they all look super fucking cool.
Yeah. That's when John had like the long beard and the long hair.
No beard, like a magical hermit. But long hair. Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
The beard would kind of come and go, but they all had some. Actually, John didn't have a stash. The rest of them were rocking some pretty good stashes. I think Paul had.
Did you hear that Paul has a new record that just came out that he played and produced every moment of himself?
Yeah, but he always did that.
I guess that's true, but maybe not always. But this one, they made kind of like a point in the PR for it that like he played every instrument. He didn't intend to make it, but then COVID happened, and he sort of thought it was isolated.
I listened
to the first couple tracks. It's cute. It's weird actually. It's got some interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I want to hear more of it. I mean, it's, you know, he's a genius. It's tough though to keep putting out amazing music your entire life.
It's true.
McCartney 3. After McCartney 1 and McCartney 2.
McCartney 3. Ram is my go-to. Ram.
Big Ram fan.
Big Ram fan.
It's great. Ram fan. Mm-hmm. So, Noel, we are recording this 3 or 4 days before Christmas. This is going to come out. These next two episodes are coming out after Christmas. So there's going to be no Christmas content. Thank God.
Thank God. Thanks, sweet baby Jesus on Christmas.
I'm kind of ready for it to, not for Christmas to be over, but you can only talk about Christmas movies for so long, you know? Am I right?
We talked about how you can only talk about Christmas for movies for so long, yeah, and we gave a whole episode to them, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's enough. Mm-hmm. I think that's enough. I wanted to cover a couple of things real quick, Noel. The Tom Cruise rant thoughts.
There's a new rant?
Oh, did you hear? You didn't hear the rant last week?
No. What? Different than the one where he was on Oprah and sit on the couch?
Oh, yeah.
This was a contemporary Cruise rant?
Yeah, he was recorded on set losing it on some crew members because of COVID protocols. And it was interesting. Most people on the Crushers page were, and on the internet, were very much in his camp. Saying like, damn straight, man, take it serious and let him have it. I was a little more in the middle because I certainly think you should take it seriously, obviously. But from what I saw and heard, it was two crew members who were a little less than 6 feet apart. It wasn't the way he acted, like it was like he busted them in a bar or something, like doing, you know, shots off each other's stomach or something. Like he really went off. And everyone's under a lot of pressure, and I think it can be owed to that. But the other thing I will say is that, you know, my friend just got off a very big movie that I've spoken about before, where the crew was essentially quarantined in a hotel. Their cars were tracked and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't see their family, even masked and distance and outside on their day off. Like they were completely sequestered while above the line people were going out to dinner and having their families flown in. So there's a power dynamic here at work as well. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah, Leah Remini, who does a fantastic Scientology podcast with us on the network called Fair Gaming, or sorry, Scientology Fair Game, she says that Tom Cruise's psychotic COVID-19 rant is a publicity stunt and that he is an abusive person. I've witnessed it. I've been a recipient of it on a small level. This is the real Tom.
Well, and again, it's like Scientology is an organization, call it cult, call it religion, just full of abuse. So it's a little hard to really jump behind Tom Cruise as some champion. You know?
Yeah.
It's a little rich.
I do know.
That's all I'm going to say.
I do know. I haven't heard it, but I know what he's capable of, and fascinated by Scientology, and anyone that is fascinated by it should listen to Leah's podcast. And also, Stuff I Don't Want You to Know did a 2-part interview with her co-host on that podcast, Mike Render.
Sure,
Render. He used to be a high-level PR guy with Scientology, and now he's defected, and he spills literally all the beans about it. And it does have this crazy, abusive, kind of gaslighting power dynamic about it that this sort of rings true. Yeah.
So, you know, all I'll say is tensions are high. It's tough to try and make these movies right now. He is under a lot of pressure as the star to kind of keep this thing together. So I see all sides. There's a lack of context that doesn't help and a lot of gray area. So that's where I am, Noel.
I feel you, man.
That's where I am. Big shout out to Mike Sams, Movie Crusher, who has been doing this great experiment on the Crushers page, filling his holes with suggestions and reviews. He'll take a suggestion from another Crusher,
watch the movie,
and it's been a really cool experiment, and everyone got really involved, and I just think it's wonderful.
He watched one that was my recommendation that he mentioned. I think it was Waiting for Guffman. He'd never seen Waiting for Guffman, and I think he really liked that one.
Yeah, so a lot of his holes were substantial, and he owned it, you know? I'm like very brave. Put yourself out there, Sams. Good job. I went live the other day, Noel, when you had to cancel at the last minute. I was down here in the basement and had a repair person upstairs, so I was kind of sequestered, and I was like, shit. Hit go live, and I got a few hundred people there watching.
On Instagram?
No, on the Movie Crush page.
Oh, cool.
Facebook page.
That's great.
It was fun.
That sounds fun.
And I told those people that we finally watched Home Alone this year with Ruby. And boy, Noel, 5 years old.
Did she get a kick out of it?
As it turns out, is a great age to take in Home Alone for the first time.
I bet.
She loved it. The kid wins. Like, it's kind of perfect for a kid that age because the kid is always thwarting the adults. And sweet message, good Christmas stuff. It was just really, really good. And I'm going to play a clip, Noel, if I can. I recorded her watching it, and it's just kind of funny. Let me tell everyone what you're going to hear.
Yeah.
This is the scene at the end where the tarantula, spoilers.
Okay. For Home Alone.
Mm-hmm. Where there's a tarantula on Joe Pesci's chest. He's laying on the floor. Daniel Stern gets the crowbar to smash the tarantula. Tarantula gets away. He gets smashed. And then right after that, Macaulay Culkin is upstairs and gets on his little zip line and zip lines with his handlebars into his
like bunker.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So what you're going to hear is Ruby very, very concerned about the tarantula because she doesn't want the tarantula to get hurt. And then very excited about the zip lining. And the word she says, if you can't understand, is it's like he's flying. So let me play this little clip here.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
How are you doing, Mark?
The tarantula.
He got away.
Oh, were you worried about the tarantula?
Yeah.
No,
why
did you get scared? How do you want?
That's part one. And that John Williams score.
Oh yeah.
All right, so that's it. Nothing like the joy of a child watching a movie like that.
That's so fun. I guess I was, how old is she again? Four?
She's 5 and a half.
5 and a half, yeah. I guess I was a little older when I saw that, but I saw it when it first came out in the theaters. I probably was about 6, but God, I love that movie.
It's like a cartoon. So like, you know, it has all that violence, but it's all goofy and funny. And she laughed her ass off, man. She, I mean, we all did. We had a great time.
Somebody pointed out a scene, I think it was on the Crushers page, about how, like, whatever Daniel Stern's character is, he has the most bizarre squealing scream.
That's great.
He just, like, I can't even do it. But there's a scene where he gets, like, electrocuted, and then all of a sudden he, like, turns into a full skeleton.
Yeah,
and then back into a person and then a skeleton. Like, it's total cartoony.
Yeah, that's in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, because...
Oh, yeah.
I had never seen that movie, Noel, because I was, like... I was in my early 20s when that came out in college, so I was not into Home Alone 2. So we watched that for the first time, and that movie sucks.
Oh, no. Didn't hold up.
It's not holding up, dude. It is the worst kind of sequel, which is...
The same retread, every beat for... Yeah.
Literal beat for beat remake. Like, they just... They do some of the same exact gags with the criminals, like the paint cans. It's really, really lazy as fuck. It was very disappointing.
It even has the misunderstood creepy adult, you know, like the pigeon lady versus
the snow plow man.
Yeah,
oh, exactly. Gosh, it was so
snow shovel. He's got a snow shovel. That's what it is.
I was posthumously angry at John Hughes. I was like, sir, you just phoned it in, man.
Yeah.
It was very disappointing.
I think the critics are in your corner on that one too, Chuck.
Probably so. And then Donald Trump's in it too, which just made me want to vomit.
He helps him find the lobby. That's the most useful thing Donald Trump ever did.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
Same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win.
Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
All right, so we are going to go. This is both of these, Noel, because I've just been so busy here trying to get everything done before Christmas.
Of course.
These are both Crusher specials, which means, you know what that means? That means I'm letting the Crushers dictate the content.
Love it.
So I had one here from our old friend, Yvonne Baudet. He always comes up with the best stuff on the Crushers page, really engages people. And he said this, Noel, name a movie that expanded your knowledge of a subject you weren't familiar with. Good question. Can you think of one?
I can think of one. The movie Rounders. Rounders.
Sure. Poker, huh?
Gave me a little sneak peek into the world of professional gambling and poker and all that stuff in a time where I was not really familiar at all.
Yeah. And now you're...
Now I'm an old pro.
You're a champion World Series of Poker player.
I'm in Gamblers Anonymous.
Oh, you went full circle already?
Full circle.
Had a problem. Sold your house.
Mm-hmm.
Lost all that money. And now you're clean.
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
I don't want to make light of that. It's a big problem.
No, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. And actually, just on another slight aside, a good example, too, is The Sopranos. The Sopranos I've been rewatching recently. I'm not sure how into that show you are, but there's an episode or an arc where I think his name is Robert Patrick. He played the T-1000 in Terminator 2. He plays like one of Tony's childhood friends, and he gets way in over his head in gambling debt, and they do to him what's called a bust out, where they take his business and they just like eat into it like termites and just like run into the ground and charge, you know, products on his lines of credit that they then sell and basically just make him go bankrupt to, you know, and then he's like, what's next? He's like, what's next? He's like, you go bankrupt. You're done.
And this is
but
all
you can do whatever
to
you want.
Collect
now.
The money.
All to collect the money.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. I think I remember that. Okay. Noel, we're going to start with Xana Jean. Xana, I don't think I've seen you. Welcome. Dig. The 2004 documentary of the rivalry between Brian Jonestown Massacre
so
and the Dandy Warhols.
Love it.
Eye-opening inner workings of the music industry. Yeah. And this, and Xana says this, especially to a young girl fronting a Seattle band in the early 2000s. So,
oh, wow.
Xana is cool as hell.
No doubt.
Or Xana. I don't know. Which is it, Noel?
I mean, you kind of committed to the first one, okay. So I would just lean into it.
Rochelle Jones says documentary Senna and Rush, both movies about Formula One, a sport my husband loves and great for me to watch so I can understand his love more. Well, that's nice. Karen Schlump Hughes, one of our old pals, says Man on Wire.
That's a good one.
much better than that garbage movie.
Oh, I was about to say the like dramatization version with what's his face.
I think we bagged on that before, so
I haven't seen it, but I just didn't care to. It's one of those like, why would I bother?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's really disappointing.
Yeah.
Zach Pointer says Rudy. Sure. A lot of these are documentaries. Freddie
I like
Lynn.
To pronounce that movie Rudy. I like to over enunciate and call it Rudy.
Rudy.
Rudy. Yeah, that's the one about the little guy that plays football.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Freddie Lynn says Free Solo. Sure. John Bick, this is a good answer here. The Big Short. Yeah, man. I think the financial crisis was a bit of a mystery to a lot of people as to exactly how that happened. And The Big Short did a great job of breaking that down.
It did indeed. And it also just showed the whole world of that time, you know, with the housing crisis and the foreclosures and, you know, really tied it all together. It was very, very well done and funny.
Yeah, very funny. Kari Nelson says Fiddler on the Roof documentary. Oh, did not know that existed.
Mm-mm.
I'd like to see that. One of our old friends, Melinda Bacaleo, says Dunkirk, or as I like to say, Dunkirk.
Yes. Yes. It's the only way to say it.
It's the only way. She says this, definitely became more interested in the situation as a whole and went back to learn more about it. Watched the other movie, The Darkest Hour, etc. Yeah, that's a good historic hole to crawl into. Let me see here. Ian Tyson said Interstellar with quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cindy Hainsworth Caron says The Dish with Sam Neill. I don't know that movie. Do you know?
I don't. I'm Googling it right now. It sounds like it's perhaps about food.
Maybe.
Let's see.
Australian historical comedy drama tells the story of...
Oh, it's about a satellite dish, not about food at all. it's a historical comedy drama. That's a very interesting mishmash of genres.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
Our old friend Austin Handler says A League of Their Own, of course. Yeah, The Queen's Gambit's on here. Andrea McBride, Dickey. I mean, you know, we've talked about it a little bit. So many people are playing chess and interested in chess now, Noel.
Yeah. Good job. What's her face? What's that actress's name? Oh my gosh. It's a
real good job. What's her face?
It's a three part name. It's one of those great, it's one of the great three part names.
Yeah. What's her face?
No, Chuck, no. It's Lovejoy. Something Joy. What the hell is her name?
I know it. I'm watching you. I love watching
you
squirm.
Anya Taylor-Joy. it's like a hyphenate. Taylor-Joy.
It is.
Yeah.
Earl Powell, Rebecca Robe says, The Exorcist, getting much better at possession since watching.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
Good one, Robes. Here, Grant.
But I will say that movie does have a lot of stuff about, like, I mean, the church has a stance on possession, and they, like, play into that pretty well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Josh and I did a exorcism podcast many, many years ago. Grant Woody says Rounders as well, Noel.
Oh, nice.
And another movie I haven't seen that I want to, Perfume, The Story of a Murderer. Have you heard that?
Ooh. No.
Yeah, that's supposed to be good. Perfume.
Is that older?
It's like 10 or 12 years old, maybe.
Okay.
I'm looking now. 2006. Okay, more than that. 14 years ago. Good Lord. Where's
it sounds like
on?
It might be like a Clouseau mystery or
it is
something.
A psychological thriller from Tom Tykwer.
Oh, shit. Who did fucking Run Lola Run?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman, Alan Rickman, Ben Whishaw. I think it was about... What is it about? Oh, give me the full plot.
It's apparently the story of a murderer, Chuck, so we can just leave it at that.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
That's the perfume. Yeah, exactly. It looks cool. The cover looks cool with like a woman disintegrating into rose petals.
Yeah, sure.
Works. Yeah.
Like they do.
I loved Run Lola Run. I haven't thought about that movie in a long time.
So great. Spencer Dunphy says Moneyball. So baseball, or rather behind the scenes. Yeah.
And that one had some like Big Short type vibes. Wasn't it about like using stats in a really like big way?
Yeah, sort of a different way. These analytics that had never been kind of used before. And also building a baseball team in a different way financially. It's even if you don't like baseball, I think Moneyball is fairly interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like Emily really liked it. She's okay with baseball though.
Yeah. Baseball's just all right with me.
Baseball's just all right.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Van Zyl, Catch Me If You Can, had no idea about that story. It's great. Not only is it great, but it's a documentary. Well, not exactly, but I know what you mean.
Yes.
It's a true story.
It's a true story.
Nick Kelly says...
And a Broadway musical.
Is it really?
It made it into a Broadway musical, yep.
I don't think I knew that, or did I?
Yeah.
The Big Short, that should be a musical.
That would be good. I could see that playing well.
Nick Kelly says Hidden Figures, of course. And let me throw out one more. Well, let me throw out a couple more. Joanna Wick says Just Mercy, about systemic racism. I have not seen that yet.
And then me neither.
We'll finish with a funny one. Brian Ridge says Wild Things. I was pretty young, is what he says.
It taught him things, ways of feeling about his own body. I understand.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Noel, that's our only segment today. These are going to be kind of shorter because we're both crushed for time. But totally. I do want to finish with Stream This.
Pew, pew, pew. Do we still use that sound cue? Or can we just replace it with me going pew, pew, pew?
Stream This.
And while you get your list together, I'm going to go through mine. We just finished The Great last night, the show I mentioned before on Hulu about Catherine the Great, the comedy. Very good.
Did it pay off?
It did, man. And I'm assuming they had a 2-season order. Otherwise, they wouldn't have, you know, just ended it like they did. It's clearly set up for season 2, but it's going to be a while, which really makes me mad because we're loving the show. And now, I mean, it's probably going to be 2 years before we see season 2, you know, with COVID going on. I finally watched Class Action Park the other day, the documentary about the water park in New Jersey in the 1980s that I didn't even know was narrated by our friend John Hodgman.
Oh, wow. That's funny that he's never mentioned that.
Yeah, I think he actually, well, no, maybe he didn't on our show, but I didn't even realize it until he started talking. And That was my old pal Hodgman. And you know what makes me mad, Noel, is I lived in New Jersey for the last year of their existence, and I didn't know it existed. And it was only about 45 minutes away. I would have totally loved to have gone to Action Park.
That one is like on the top of a lot of lists. And I actually was looking at a Rotten Tomatoes, like, you know, how they rank everything by reviews, and the list of like the year's best, whatever, however many movies it was. I think it was like 50 or something. Mm-hmm. And that was up there. It's got an almost 100% positive reviews. But what I realized about this list is because there were so few blockbusters, like big ticket blockbusters.
Yeah.
The list is all cool, little weird niche indies.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of them I haven't seen, and I'm really pumped to like go through this list and like watch a lot of these.
Yeah. There's a few movies out now that are sort of new that I haven't seen yet. The Sofia Coppola's new movie I haven't seen yet. That is online or not online. What do you even call that? Streaming
yes.
platform. I never saw that movie Bombshell about Fox News, and that's out now. Mm-hmm. So there are a few like real movies that I want to see, which will be nice.
Mank
for a change.
Is supposed to be great. The new David Fincher the screenwriter for Citizen Kane.
My brother called that a masterpiece, Noel.
I've heard a lot of people throwing that around because it's, you know, everybody loves these old Hollywood kind of, mm-hmm. you know, love letter kind of things. And apparently it's an interesting story too, because David Fincher's father wrote the script.
Oh, really?
Like a long time ago, I think. And he passed away. Oh. And then I think Fincher finished it or, you know, did something like that. But it's supposed to be really good. A good and a classic Gary Oldman performance.
Well, I mean, Fincher, you know, I know we're both in the same camp that he is one of the great auteurs.
He is indeed.
And then two more things, Noel, I watched. I got a sort of itch that I needed to scratch in the true crime genre, a genre that I have loved over the years, and it sort of comes and goes as far as my interest in it. And I, for some reason, just really have been wanting to watch a little bit of that. So I watched one called a four-part series from HBO Max called Murder on Middle Beach, I think, or Murder at Middle Beach.
I've heard that's great.
It really is. It's the story of a young man who is telling the story of his mother's murder and trying to figure out who did it. And it's really good. Very engrossing. I don't want to give anything away, but it's really well done. I quite enjoyed it.
I think it's so neat when like a documentary can have like a twist.
Sure.
It requires so much effort to make these. And like, I mean, I'm like saying the obvious, but like to just go with it and see what happens and where the story takes you. And then for it to like just go somewhere crazy out of left field. And then to be able to communicate that to viewers, I think is just a really like amazing ability.
As a filmmaker. Yeah. I mean, usually when you undertake a story like this, you're bound to be a little unsatisfied in the end, because when do you actually crack the case while making the documentary and reveal the murderer in the last episode? It's very rare. Like what was it on HBO? Was it The Jinx?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the unicorn, man. That's why it was so fucking great. It's like the last episode, this guy admits it by accidentally being wired up in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yep,
unbelievable.
Yep. Unreal. Yeah.
So cool. And then the other one I watched two nights ago, Noel, highly recommend. It's also, I think, on HBO Max. It's called Crazy Not Insane. And have you seen that or heard of it?
No, but I like the name.
It is the story. I'm trying to find her name. It was made by Alex Gibney, the guy who did Going Clear, narrated by Laura Dern. And it tells the story of Dorothy Lewis, who was kind of the first psychiatrist in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s to explore the idea of serial killers being made and not just born wrong, like head injuries, they used to call it multiple personality disorder. Now I think it's called dissociative identity disorder.
That's right. Yep.
And was, you know, laughed out of court a lot of times. It was at a time where no one believed that. Some people still don't believe in DID. It was a really, really interesting documentary to see this woman put it together, where she was like, at one point she was like, abuse, childhood abuse, some form of mental illness, and a brain injury. She's like, those three things almost 100% of the time make a very, very dangerous human being. And she pulled up MRIs of all these famous serial killers and showed scarring on the frontal lobe. She interviewed 22 of them and found that virtually every single one of them suffered serious forms of child abuse. Many of them had multiples and alters that would allow them to deal with that and to also kill. But, you know, there's videotape of these interviews where these alters would come out, and it's the real deal. It's not, you know, an M. Night Shyamalan movie, you know. It's chilling and amazing and very, very interesting. Crazy, not insane.
I will check it out.
Highly recommend. You got anything, Noel?
Yeah, like I said, I've been doing a Sopranos deep dive rewatch, which I do every year, a couple of years or so. And I realized, like, I know that show beat for beat. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. Like, that's been taking up a lot of my time.
So do you start from the beginning each time?
Oh, yes, every time.
So you've rewatched the whole show several times.
I've rewatched the whole show at least five times.
Probably. Wow.
And it's just, I don't know. I like to kind of watch. A friend of mine does this too, and he pointed out that he was doing a rewatch of it recently through a particular lens, because the show occasionally deals with, like, paranormal afterlife type stuff where, you know, in like there's religion involved, and, like, you know, Carmela, for example, Tony's wife, is very Catholic and she prays a lot, and, like, you know, has a priest character that she's always talking to, and, you know, has this, like, kind of, you know, religious crisis of conscience that's always going on with her.
Sure.
Being a part of this world and also, you know, being a religious person. But there's also, like, a lot of characters, like, kind of almost die and then come back and have things to report from the afterlife. And my friend Peyton said he was rewatching it with the assumption that all that stuff is real. Like, that's like his lens through which he is rewatching this.
Oh, that's interesting. So you can just sort of get a
kind of a fresh take on it. But yeah that's I really like the new Netflix comedy, like Australian comedy show. It's called Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And that's a really it's a very Mr. Show. It's very absurdist kind of Tim and Eric type comedy, and a lot of big high budget sketches with, like, dance numbers and music and Weird Al's in an episode, and it's pretty great.
Well, I won't hold that against him.
Okay. Yeah, those are the two that I've been kind of watching.
All righty. Well, Noel, we're going to wrap this one up and spank it on the bottom just about a half hour, because I got Christmas wrapping to do.
Mm-hmm.
I put a thing on the old page about whether or not people are good gift wrappers. Movie crushers are pretty good gift wrappers, Noel.
I'm okay. I usually get my mom to do it for me, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. I also can't tie a tie. I get my mom to do that for me as well.
Seriously, Noel, you can't tie
a
tie. Kidding.
I know how to tie a tie, Chuck. I have to look at a YouTube video, though, okay? I don't have occasion to do it often enough to remember how. Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Let's get the old clip on.
No, never.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening, and I hope you had a great holiday season. And as we wind out the new year here, on the old Movie Crush, we say happy holidays and happy new year to you and yours.
Mm-hmm. Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponxty Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce.
Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.